pianist Stephen Osborne playing Ravel's In the Manor of Borodin. It's 7 o'clock this Tuesday night, and this is Jonathan Swain in London with a summary of the news. David Cameron has urged the political parties in Northern Ireland to continue their efforts to secure an agreement on some of the most contentious issues of the peace process after months of talks ended this morning without a deal. The negotiations, chaired by the American diplomat Richard Haass, broke up, with the main unionist parties expressing concerns about the proposals. The Prime Minister said that although he was disappointed, the negotiations had achieved much common ground and the parties should keep going. The bosses of the UK's energy distribution companies are to face questioning by MPs about the power cuts over Christmas. The chairman of the Commons Energy Select Committee, Tim Yeo, said it was ludicrous that some people had to wait 5 days for their power to be restored. Today's deadline for removing some of Syria's chemical weapons will not be met. It's thought bad weather and the worsening conflict have prevented containers being delivered to the port of Latakia. Norwegian ships preparing to collect the material have changed course to return to Cyprus for refuelling. Doctors treating Michael Schumacher have said he's shown a slight improvement following a second operation to remove another blood clot from his brain last night. But they said the 7-time Formula One world champion is not yet out of danger following his skiing accident in the French Alps. Within the last hour, firefighters in England and Wales have walked out on strike as part of their ongoing dispute with the government over pensions. They're due to return to work at 12:30. A doctor in northern China has admitted stealing babies from the hospital where she worked and selling them to middlemen in a baby trafficking network. The obstetrician was accused of selling 7 babies for a few thousand pounds after telling their parents they'd been born with congenital conditions. A British man who was being held in France on charges of murdering his 2 children has been found hanged in jail. Julian Stevenson, who had been involved in a custody battle with his French ex-wife, had lived in Lyon for about 10 years. He was arrested in May after the bodies of his son and daughter were found in his flat. A woman is in a serious but stable condition in a Glasgow hospital after being gored by a stag in the Highlands. Witnesses said the deer charged at Kate Stone, who's 30 and from Cambridge, as she left a pub with friends and pierced her throat with its antlers. The Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, has said the Pope is his person of the year. He said Pope Francis had made a huge impact since his election in March, changing the Catholic Church's sense of direction and purpose with his personal example and his words. The BAFTA award-winning comedian John Fortune, one of the stars of Bremner, Bird and Fortune, has died at the age of 74. His colleague Rory Bremner described him as a lovely man and a brilliant and fearless satirist. In the city, the 100-share index closed for the year up 18 at 6749. And the weather, a windy, wet night for many parts with a risk of hail and thunder in the south. More rain and strong winds will spread into the north, into the southwest by dawn. And that's the news and the weather with a time at 7:03. Well, now on BBC Radio 3, another highlight from the 2013 Proms season, the celebration of film music. This one, it's introduced by Petroc Trelawney.
Hello, welcome back to the Proms. The BBC Concert Orchestra are on the platform and will perform with their American chief conductor, Keith Lockhart. 2 soloists join them. Lawrence Power helps show why Richard Rodney Bennett was in such demand by the studios as he plays an elegy for viola from Lady Caroline Lamb, a rather forgotten costume drama telling of Byron's long-suffering wife. And the Ukrainian pianist Valentina Lisitsa will play Richard Adensel's Warsaw Concerto, created for the 1941 picture Dangerous Moonlight. American composers later, including John Williams, Jerry Goldsmith and Michael Giacchino, and the curious tale of how Ligeti and 2 Strausses ended up providing oral accompaniment in Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey. Well, there's a focus on films telling of the Second World War in the first part of the programme. Warsaw Concerto, obviously. And in a moment, some of Walton's music for the 1969 film Battle of Britain. Ron Goodwin's name might immediately be associated with that score, but in fact, Walton had been approached first. Alas, the producers in Hollywood didn't like what he provided and commissioned Goodwin instead. Laurence Olivier threatened to insist that his name should be taken off the credits in protest. In the end, a compromise was reached where Walton's battle in the air sequence survived. A suite which also includes other moments of Walton's score coming up in a couple of minutes. We're going to begin with another Brit, though, William Alwyn, writing for what was perhaps the grandest government-made film of all time, The True Glory, which told the tale of the Anglo-American wartime partnership from D-Day to VE Day. General Eisenhower was, in effect, the producer. This was a co-production between the US Office of War Information and Britain's Ministry of Information. Featured footage by as many as 700 cameramen who'd been attached to military units. Many had died in action. Cynthia Fleming, leader of the BBC Concert Orchestra, taking her place in front of an absolutely packed-out Royal Albert Hall audience. This is one of the first proms to sell out, and the arena is packed full this evening as well. Well, William Alwyn provided a moving march for The True Glory, which is the first music we're going to hear this evening. Keith Lockhart, principal conductor of the BBC Concert Orchestra, takes his position on stage as our film music prom gets underway with William Alwyn, music from The True Glory. William Alwyn's march, True Glory, a Colin Matthews suite next of discarded music from Walton's Battle of Britain. Thank you. incredibly evocative music written by Walton for the film Battle of Britain. Much of it then dropped by the producers, who failed to even tell Walton that his music wasn't going to be used. The first that he knew about it was when a film critic rang him to ask for his opinion on the matter. He vowed never to write another note of film music, though he relented in 1970 when Laurence Olivier persuaded him to score a film of the National Theatre production of The Three Sisters. Well, we're going to move forward to the early 1970s next, and music by the late Richard Rodney Bennett. Robert Bolt was probably best known as a literary figure, creator of the play A Man for All Seasons, and screenplay writer of Dr. Zhivago and Lawrence of Arabia. But in 1972, he made his directorial debut with Lady Caroline Lamb, a biopic telling of Lord Byron's tragic lover. Bolt cast his then-wife, Sarah Miles, in the title role. Well, the resulting film was highly romantic and rather lush, didn't entirely delight audiences, but the score helped its composer make his name. Bennett went on to arrange his music as a two-movement concert suite for orchestra and viola, and that's what we're going to hear next this evening, played by Lawrence Power. Well, the opening section depicts the twitchy, neurotic Lady Caroline. Then the viola presents the film's love theme, little mock military music, and then something rather more somber. Harpsichord and harp feature in a duet in the second movement before that love theme returns. Well, Richard Rodney Bennett, who died at Christmas, such a musical polymath. He studied in Paris with Olivier Messiaen-Pierre Boulez, establishing himself as a jazz musician, and still find time to create his first film score, early films including Blind Date and The Man Who Could Cheat Death. Later he worked with Hammer Pictures on a psychological thriller called The Nanny, set Michael Caine's billion-dollar brain, and then worked with John Schlesinger, first of all on Billy Liar, and then Far From the Madding Crowd, for which he was nominated for an Oscar for Best Original Score. Battery of percussion instruments as well, more about which I will tell you later. But right now, here is Lawrence Power lifting his viola high with Keith Lockhart. Perform Lady Caroline Lamb, Richard Rodney Bennett's Elegy for Viola and Orchestra.
Thank you.
Lawrence Power playing Richard Rodney Bennett's music written for Lady Caroline Lamb, arranged by Bennett as an elegy for viola and orchestra. The score originally for Robert Bolt's 1972 film, telling of the love affair between Caroline Lamb, wife of William Lamb, Lord Melbourne, and the poet Byron 200 years ago. Richard Chamberlain played Byron in the film. Sarah Miles was Lady Caroline. Lawrence Power, one of the great stars of the viola, he returns to the platform now. Regular on the Prom stage, concert halls around the world. Recently been playing Berlioz's Harold in Italy, in Chicago, Bartok Concerto for Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra in Amsterdam, Miklos Rocha's concerto with the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic Orchestra, and Penderecki's concerto with Camerata Salzburg. Back on the stage now, Lockhart. Next is going to speak to the audience here at the Royal Albert Hall.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Proms. That was the elegy for viola and orchestra from the movie Lady Caroline Lamb, music composed by Richard Rodney Bennett, who died this past December at the age of 76. Richard was an incredibly versatile musician. He scored over 50 films, perhaps most famously among them, Four Weddings and a Funeral, and Murder on the Orient Express, for which he garnered one of his three Academy Award Best Score nominations in 1974. Though he spent most of his career living in New York, he was a great friend of this particular orchestra, and a few years ago, for his 70th birthday, there was a special concert arranged by the concert orchestra for him. We will miss him and his great music making. The first part of tonight's concert is dedicated to British war films, and those films, especially those that were actually made during wartime, were of course much more than mere entertainment. They were also propaganda in the best sense of the word. They were put out there to raise people's spirits, engender patriotism, and to bring comfort to people in times of hardship and actual danger. We've gone through quite a few of those scores, and we're going to go on to the Warsaw Concerto, one of the pieces from these films that has made a comfortable home on the concert stage as well, with Valentina Lisitsa later in the program. But first, another inspiring march for you. This is the march from the movie, the 1958 war movie, Ice Cold in Alex. Now, those of you who aren't film buffs may wonder, well, what's wrong with Alex? The answer is very simple. Alex is Alexandria, and the stars of the film have to get through Rommel's lines and go to the city of Alexandria, where waits for them an ice-cold beer, something that I could personally use right now. The march from Ice Cold in Alex.
Thank you.
from Ice Cold in Alex. Leighton Lucas provided the score. A tale of two British officers escorting an ambulance to Alexandria. En route, they pick up a South African officer who is not all he seems. John Mills starred as Captain Anson, Anthony Quayle as Van der Perl, the South African who was actually German, and Sylvia Sims played Sister Diana Murdoch. Next, a piano to be moved centre stage for one of the shortest concertos in the repertoire, Richard Adensel's Warsaw Concerto, used in the wartime melodrama Dangerous Moonlight. This was the tale of a Polish airman who also happened to be a concert pianist. The film's plot hatched by three members of British military intelligence, writer Terence Young, musician Lionel Salter, and actor Basil Bartlett. Young soon realised that a mini concerto winding its way right through the film would help tie the plot together, and with the right piece, ensure that the audience left cinemas humming away to themselves. Well, the story goes that the team approached Rachmaninoff first of all, then Misha Spolyansky, the Russian-born, London-based composer, but both of them said no. So they went to Adensel, who created a work that was an immediate success. It's been recorded more than 100 times. It sold millions of copies. Its length, by the way, to ensure that it fitted neatly onto a 78 RPM disc. Well, tonight, the concerto will be played by the Ukrainian-American pianist Valentina Lisitsa.
When I was approached to play this piece, of course, I heard all about it from my friends. You would not believe how many times they would tell me, oh, you've got to play this piece, this is just like Rachmaninoff. And, you know, when somebody says something is just like something else, you know, like Rachmaninoff or, you know, anything else, you immediately get yourself into defensive position. Like, why would they play something like Rachmaninoff when, in fact, I have a real thing? And when I started learning piece, you know, when, of course, when I was approached to do it for BBC, I was terribly excited, and I wouldn't say no just because it sounds like Rachmaninoff. But actually, this mindset doesn't make justice for this piece, because no, it's not Rachmaninoff, it's not Chopin, it's not Gershwin, it's the music in itself. And of course, movie music, it's very interesting always to play, because music is, in a way, it's abstract, but yet we do see programs, we imagine program notes for music. You know, we know something that's happening here, and here we have movie and music written for the script of movie. Of course, when you watch this movie and you see the moments when music is played, it's so naturally, it's a part of it. It's a part of a script, so it's very difficult to separate. Of course, you know, you're thinking about everything, and you try also to generalize in a way, not to follow script necessarily, you know, all the turns and speech and dialogues, but just playing music. For me, it's great because I'm a visual person, you know, I imagine things. But, you know, so was Franz Liszt, you know, he was writing programs for his works, he was writing programs for other people's works, and it worked for audience wonderfully. So I'm like really, really looking forward to playing this piece, and not only tonight, but many times after.
Valentina Lisitsa speaking earlier on today, and Cynthia Fleming, leader of the BBC Concert Orchestra, about to play the A for the orchestra to tune. Interestingly, Valentina Lisitsa is familiar with the film Battle of Britain. She says that it was thanks to her mother, who grew up steeped in the movies of this era. There was a short time when they were made available in the Soviet Union, when there was a period of warmer relations between the Allies after the war. I grew up hearing them, she says, incessantly praised, so in a way it's an interesting challenge for me to perform and hear the music that my mother adores. Not surprisingly, she is a great fan of the film scores of Shostakovich and Prokofiev. Prokofiev's Alexander Nevsky, she reckons, is probably the best. Well, Warsaw Concerto, part of a film, Dangerous Moonlight, that was a huge success. It was made by the prolific Irish filmmaker Brian Desmond Hirst. He was the director. Cecil Beaton made the costumes. And running right the way through the film, Richard Adensel's Piano Concerto, that soon found a life for itself on the radio and in concert programmes, as we find it tonight here in this film music prom, Valentina Lisitsa, joining Keith Lockhart and the BBC Concert Orchestra, Richard Adensel's Warsaw Concerto in the 1941 film Dangerous Moonlight.
Thank you.
Valentina Lisitsa playing Richard Adensel's Warsaw Concerto. Keith Lockhart conducting the BBC Concert Orchestra. Work written for the 1941 film Dangerous Moonlight. Adensel had a particularly busy war. He'd just come back from Hollywood, where he'd gone to work rather unsuccessfully at the RKO studios. Came back to score films including Gaslight, Love on the Dole, This England and The Big Blockade, as well as some 20 wartime documentaries for the Ministry of Information. Then he was leaving one of Mara Hesse's wartime concerts at the National Gallery that on the steps he met Joyce Grenfell, went on to form a great partnership with her. Valentina Lisitsa now returns on her own, wearing a duck egg blue chiffon dress. Ukrainian-born pianist, raised in Kiev, her mother a seamstress, sent her to music college in the hope that she would become a piano teacher, a safe job. She's become one of the great stars of the contemporary classical world after launching her YouTube channel with more than 50 million viewers, where she introduces her fans to films of her performing and rehearsing. David Arnold, John Williams and Jerry Goldsmith ahead, and we bring you bang up to date with part of Michael Giacchino's score to the latest Star Trek epic, Into Darkness. We begin with a trio of great European composers whose work was made full use of by Stanley Kubrick in 2001, A Space Odyssey. Here lies one of those great Hollywood fables. Kubrick had previously worked with the composer Alex North on Spartacus in 1960. He was urged by MGM to book him again, and so he did. But Kubrick was becoming increasingly angry at the studio boss's interference in his projects. Though Alex North went ahead and scored the film, from the beginning, Kubrick never planned to use any of his music. He'd already worked out the classical selections that he wanted to use instead. Poor North, when he turned up at the New York premiere of the film in 1968, he only then discovered that not a bar of his work had been used. Neither Kubrick nor anyone else had even bothered to tell him. Ironically, George Ligeti, one of the chosen composers, was furious that his music had been used without his permission. Well, to add insult to injury, Alex North had even gone as far as writing a score that imitated the masterworks that Kubrick wanted to use, including the opening to Richard Strauss's Also sprach Zarathustra, Ligeti's Atmospheres, and Johann Strauss II's Waltz by the Blue Danube, extracts from which we are going to hear. Keith Lockhart, principal conductor of the BBC Concert Orchestra, returns to the stage. Music from 2001, A Space Odyssey, filmed by Stanley Kubrick, starting with Richard Strauss's Also sprach Zarathustra.
Thank you.
Strauss's by the beautiful Blue Danube, before it Atmospheres by Judge Ligeti, and the opening of Also Sprach Zarathustra by Richard Strauss, as used by Stanley Kubrick in the soundtrack to 2001, A Space Odyssey. Keith Lockhart's going to speak now once again.
A selection of classical music that's associated with Stanley Kubrick's great space epic, 2001, A Space Odyssey, the film that really launched the craze for space fantasy films that, well, continues to the current day. The important question of the evening remains this. Are there any Trekkies out there? That's all? Live long and prosper. Well, then you will be very excited to know that tonight the Concert Orchestra presents the world premiere of the suite from Michael Giacchino's score to the new film, Star Trek Into Darkness. Hope you enjoy it.
Thank you.
the premiere of Michael Giacchino's suite from the new Star Trek movie Into Darkness. Did Gene Roddenberry know what he created when he launched Star Trek on NBC television in 1966? Well, next tonight, a Brit doing rather well in Hollywood, David Arnold, very much associated with the Doctor Who James Bond franchise, 5 James Bond films to his credit, but we're going to hear the end titles from his score to Independence Day. Keith Lockhart conducting the BBC Concert Orchestra here at the Proms. Giant spacecraft flying towards the Earth, piloted by a mysterious alien species. The end titles to David Arnold's score to Independence Day, making full use of the percussion section, great red Japanese drum and a huge bass drum, 6 foot tall. David Arnold from Luton, now conquering the world. Well, a great figure of Hollywood music legend next, Jerry Goldsmith, the end titles to 1979's Alien. Catherine Moore, principal trumpeter in the BBC Concert Orchestra. Jerry Goldsmith, closing titles to Alien. To finish our film music from John Williams. We'll be right back. Keith Lockhart conducting the BBC Concert Orchestra in a suite from John Williams' Star Wars. Ending with the main title. Before it, we heard the Cantina Band. Princess Leia's unashamedly romantic theme in the very best tradition of Hollywood love themes. Beautiful solo playing from Cynthia Fleming, leader of the orchestra. And we started with the Imperial March, dark parody of the American presidential march, Hail to the Chief. Here inaugurating Darth Vader as the Empire's president of evil. Well, John Williams, from a great line of Hollywood composers, he studied and admired Korngold, Newman, Rocha. Keith Lockhart back on the platform again, BBC Concert Orchestra on its feet. He's back on the rostrum, which rather suggests a filmic encore. Thank you.
John Williams' Superman March from the 1978 film, played there by the BBC Concert Orchestra, conducted by Keith Lockhart. And your host for this evening's prom was Petroc Trelawney. Well, you won't have to wait long for our next return visit to the 2013 proms. In just 6 minutes or so, there's another chance to hear the 2013 last night of the proms. That's at 9 o'clock, and it'll take us pretty much up to New Year's Day. Until then, Schubert for male chorus and four horns. His Nachtgesang im Walde, Night Song in the Forest. There's no other part song in all of Schubert, indeed all of music, quite like it. It's late Schubert, like the great C major symphony, and a hymn to the night which grows into a lusty celebration of it. The forest treetops shake with might, the stream awakes, and we cry, night is at home in the forest. The men here of the Southwest German Vocal Ensemble with the Marie-Louise Neunecker Horn Ensemble, conducted by Rolf Beck.
Die Wimpfe des Waldes erbrausen mit Nacht.
The Southwest German Vocal Ensemble and the Marie-Louise Neunecker Horn Ensemble, conducted by Rolf Beck, in Schubert's Night Song in the Woods, Nachtgesang im Walde. Well, a few words now from Joan Bakewell.
The next belief will be a conversation with an outstanding writer. 12 novels, 3 collections of short stories, 4 screenplays and more, and many top literary prizes. Yet Ian McEwan once struggled to come to terms with language until he realised, suddenly, he could do it.
I'd been a rather quiet, contained boy who had not really protested in any way. But when I started writing fiction, it was as if the top of my head blew off and out came all these demons and spirits.
Hear Ian McEwan discuss his beliefs with me, Joan Bakewell, on BBC Radio 3. Tomorrow at 9:15 in the evening.
This is BBC Radio 3. It's just gone 9 o'clock this Tuesday evening. And to usher in the new year, another highlight from the 2013 Proms season, the last night of the Proms. Our presenters are Susie Klein and Sean Rafferty.
Good evening and welcome to the party. Marks the end of a truly remarkable summer of exceptional music making. And we have the best available artists on the planet, the fabulous Joyce DiDonato and Nigel Kennedy. And it's a very historic occasion too, because on the podium tonight, Maren Olsop, the first woman to conduct in the Proms' 118-year-old history.
It has been an extraordinary season here. 7 Wagner operas, the return of Doctor Who, the John Wilson Orchestra. We've also had some fantastic innovations this year, not least the Urban Classic Prom. We had a gospel concert and the first ever free prom. Well, on stage already, players of the BBC Symphony Orchestra, they are the house band of this music festival, and this is their 11th prom this season. They're joined here tonight by the BBC Symphony Chorus for simply the world's most famous classical music concert. Just a massive global crowd watching and listening.
Yeah, it is indeed. So wherever you are, lie back and enjoy it. It's a real feast of music making coming your way.
The arena down there. I mean, Sean and I have already been having a giggle about this because they like to get the party off right from the word go. They don't wait for all the second half to get going. Balloons being tossed in the air, beach balls we can
They're
see.
They're all there. And actually the queues outside were extraordinary. That's the applause for tonight's leader of the orchestra. And here he comes, Stephen Bryant, to lead the orchestra, which is at the heart of this great festival.
And before we hear a note today, there we go, cheers, because it's time for the customary chaplet ceremony as a chaplet of laurels is laid on the bust of Sir Henry Wood, who conducted the very first prom, 1895.
Oh, there they hold it aloft. And Sir Henry has now been garlanded by Paul Davies, who's a chartered engineer, played the violin for his 20s, regular prom since 98, and Roger Greenwood, who's been an amateur clarinetist for 40 years. His first prom was with the BBC Symphony Orchestra under Malcolm Sargent in 1964 in the arena with his dad. Well, much to celebrate tonight, the centenaries of Wagner and Verdi in Britain, and rediscovered composers Bartok and Lloyd. New music too, and a new commission to start. Anna Klein, born in London, currently co-composer in Chicago. 2 melodies you'll find in her masquerade, inspired by all the 18th century goings-on. A chorus inviting the audience in, and then an old country dance. And here to conduct is the wonderful Maren Olsop.
Thank you.
campaign starts. Anna Klein's Masquerade, BBC Commission World Premiere. And here she is in the stalls, taking the bow, clapping the orchestra. Well, of course, it's a big year for Wagner, 200 years. It is overture to the Meistersingers of Nuremberg, like all singers, and the passion for their art. Marin also gestures to Anna Klein to take another bow. Marin also is a great fan of Anna Klein's. Of course, he's in America now. Here's a residence at Chicago.